Psalms 100. We're going to read the entire passage of Psalms 100. We'll start in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and dearly Father, I pray that once again that you meet with us tonight, and dearly Father, I pray that you just help us to learn from your word, and just be with us tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk tonight about church, and so here's the thing, as I remember growing up, you know, here's the thing is there's a certain way to act in church and there's not a certain way not to act. Some people bring different things. I never forget when I was a young boy and maybe Elijah or Dallas's age. It was right after Halloween, and they had all the Halloween stuff on clearance, and they had this spider with shaggy hair. And it had a long clear tube coming out of it and a bulb at the end. And when you squeeze the bulb, the spider would jump and the hair would flop. And you could get that spider to jump certain distances. Well, unbeknownst to my parents, I brought that to church one time. And there was a lady in front of me named Miss Connie. And Miss Connie was an outspoken, loud kind of a person, really nice. And anyways, right in the middle of the song service, what I didn't realize is towards the end of the song service, I got a wild hair, and I know I don't seem like the mischievous type to you guys, but I'm always quiet, and you're just in the backgrounds, and Lillian, you're not supposed to laugh so loud. And so here's the thing is, I jumped that in under the pew, and I got it just right where it jumped right across her foot, and let me tell you, it was perfect because it crawled right across her foot. When she looked down, the hair was still flopping on the spider. And the spider was about yay big around. She let out a scream right in the middle of the church. Keep in mind, this is like 2,000 or 3,000 people. She let out a scream and stood on the pew in front of the service. Everybody else is sitting down. She's screaming and standing on the pew. And she looked back, and there I am, dying laughing. And then still standing on the pew, she reaches back and starts swatting me. By this time, the song is done, and everybody's looking at Miss Connie, standing on the pew screaming, swatting me. And I'm dying laughing. At that point in time, everybody, they didn't have all the details, but they kind of pieced together what had happened. And so, but here's the thing is there's certain things about church that, I believe that Psalms chapter 100 here is talking about. And, here's the thing is I think we all know that we should bring our Bible to church. And that's kind of in junior church, I say, all right, everybody, raise up your Bibles in the air. And then usually what I'll do is when there's only two or three and everybody else has forgot theirs, I'll give them a couple of candy bars, you know, and just kind of incentive. Why? Because we bring our Bibles to church. But, when it comes down to it, there's something special about church. We ought to look forward to going to church. And, here's the thing is, Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 25. Go ahead and turn there. I'll give you a second. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, or 10 and 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Well, here's the thing is, you know what? You guys, let me commend you for being in church when you're supposed to. But here's the thing is, you know what? There's a way that we should conduct church. And you know what? Number one is found in verses 1 and 2 of Psalms chapter 100. Make a joyful noise in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Bringing the right spirit. And I tell you what, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And, here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, the song service is important. I'll never forget when, many, many years ago, we were up in Michigan, and there was two different things that two different stories I'm going to tell you. One was I started to work with teenagers. And I never forget, I called Pastor Griffin, my youth pastor growing up, and I said, give me some advice for working with teenagers. And he says, well, listen, you know, Scott, he said, when they're listening to the wrong music, you'll never get their heart and they'll never do anything for God. So he said, whatever you do, you know, drill into them godly music. Get rid of all their bad music. And listen, they'll never have the right attitude. They'll never have the right spirit. And, you know, next was Brother Al had passed away. He was a youth pastor, song leader, and he was just kind of one of those guys that wore a lot of hats. And anyways, I'll never forget, I took over the choir at that time. And Pastor Hester was our pastor at the time, and he says, listen, I think what you need to do is you need to study music. And I'll be honest with you, that helped me a lot. I didn't realize how much the Bible talked about music. And so, listen, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, listen, it doesn't matter if you're tone deaf. It doesn't matter if you don't quite know the tune. Here's the thing is, I believe you ought to belcher out. And I love it. Here's the thing is, leading singing and congregational singing, you know, like in Sunday school, when I'm closer to you guys, I tell you what, I love to hear people belt it out. And why? You know, whenever you study music in the Bible, music always either happened before or after they met with God. And I tell you what, we ought to be so excited to meet with God, and the words ought to come alive to us. And you know what? Music ought to be something to the point where, I'll be honest with you, the closer I am to God, the more I have a song in my heart. But you know what? The further away from God I am, the less likely I am to want to belt it out. And so I'll tell you what, I love people that just let her loose. Cut loose. It doesn't matter if you're tone deaf. It doesn't matter if you sing like Brother Aaron. You know what? Just belt her out. And anyways, when it comes down to it, the Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And here's the thing is, we ought to be ready to sing it out. And just, here's the thing is, I worry about someone. Now listen, I understand if you're going having a cold or something's happened medically, but I worry about someone that has the ability to sing and during a song service. I'll be honest with you, working with teenagers, usually when a teenager did something like that and they refused to sing, usually there was something wrong spiritually. And when it comes down to it, we ought to be excited to sing praises to God. And you know, the psalmist is calling on people to just let her rip for the word with the songs. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40, starting in verse 1. I used to tell the teenagers, listen, if you can't fit two fingers in your mouth while you're singing, because listen, we're singing praises to God. If I praise my wife like this, honey, you're so nice, and you know, I like being married to you, and I don't want anybody to know that I'm talking to you, because, you know, I'd be embarrassed. You know, here's the thing is, when I'm talking to my wife, honey, you're so beautiful. Oh, what a good wife. And you know what? I make sure she can hear me. And listen, when I'm praising my wife, I want her to hear me. And you know what? I'm not ashamed of who's... By the way, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power unto salvation. Here's the thing is, you know what? Are we ashamed to sing praises to God? Here's the thing is, you know what? If we're ashamed in a building like this, you know, what are we going to do out in the world? I tell you what, the same is true with walking an old-fashioned altar, man. I tell you what, if we're worried about what other people are thinking about us, you know what? I tell you what, we need to get some grit in our craw. We need to be able to stand for God, and we need to be able to, anyways, moving right along, we ought to be willing to sing. Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he put a new song in my heart, mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I'll be honest with you. You know what? Here's the thing is, think about all that God has done for you. Just think about the fact that he saved our soul and our feet never have to touch hell. And I tell you what, think about what God has used us to do. I mean, just here at Calvary Baptist Church, we've seen many souls saved recently. We've seen people added to the church. We've seen great things happening. But you know what? In my life, I've seen answers to prayer. I've seen blessings. And I tell you what, when I get alone with God and I get alone and pray and I read my Bible, I tell you know what usually happens? God is so wonderful, I can't explain, but I can say, glory, hallelujah, praise his holy name. That's one of my favorite songs, and I tell you what, listen, it talks about how wonderful God is. Why? Because when I get alone with God, and I realize all that God has done for me, I tell you what, I just can't help it. I got a song in my heart, and bless God, it's got to come out. And listen, I worry about somebody that says they get alone with God and they don't have a song in their heart. I don't care if it's on key. I don't care if it sounds like the cat getting run over by a car. Bless God, you know what? If we have a song in our heart, it ought to come out, and we shouldn't care who hears us. Listen, when it comes down to it, we're singing praises to God. We've got a heart that says, you know what? I'm so thankful that God loves me. And I tell you what, there ought to be a song in our heart. The Bible says a new song in my mouth. When I was studying music, I found out new isn't in relation to, it was just made yesterday. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Hey, my new song doesn't sound anything like the world. Why? Because they have the old song. They're of the old nature. And here's the thing is, you know what? My new song doesn't sound like the world. It doesn't have the world's lyrics. It doesn't have the world's music to it. It doesn't, listen, I'm not taking bad music and putting good words to it. You know what? I've got a new song. And it sounds like a lot of stuff in this book right here. And you know, I tell you what, when it comes down to it, we ought to belt out a new song. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with shouting amen every now and then. But listen, when we come to church, we ought to have a new song in our mouth. We ought to be excited for the song service. And I tell you what, you know what? If we'll just listen to the words of a few of those hymns, well, I tell you what a great message they have. That's why I'm so glad our new songs aren't like the world's created songs. Because you know what? I don't know. Pastor said it, but I remember my pastor growing up saying it. There's too many 7-Eleven songs. 7 words, 11 times, and that's it. And I remember one song that Pastor Dobson used to hate was People Need the Lord. Good words, but after you repeat it about 30 times, you know what? It's kind of like, all right, next thought. You know, and here's the thing is, listen, there needs to be some substance to your songs. But anyways, listen, the next thing is found in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. We ought to come to church with a servant's heart. Too many times we come to church and we say, and I'll be honest with you, some Christians come this way. Yeah, just reach me. Bless me, I dare you. You know what? And here's the thing is, listen, I tell you what, this is why in Bible college they tell you, listen, if somebody looks like a sourpuss, looks like they've been weaned on a dill pickle, and they still got a lemon in their mouth to this day, don't focus on them. That'll discourage you. Find somebody that's listening. Find somebody that's sitting on the edge of their pew. They're smiling. They're reactive. Why? Because you know what? That'll keep you excited. And listen, it'll encourage you. But listen, we ought to come to the Lord. We ought to come to the service and say, you know what? What can I add to the service? I'm not going to be selfish. Listen, by the way, you know what happens? When you serve, something happens. And I tell you what, you walk out of here more full than if you just sat in a pew and say, all right, serve me. The Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. Boy, it's almost like he knew what he was talking about. But listen, serve the Lord with gladness. I tell you what, just like I said, we ought not be walking in here with our lower lip dragging on the carpet. I tell you what, woe is me. Nobody like Eeyore, you know? And here's the thing is, we got too many Eeyore Christianities. And anyways, it's like, nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll go eat worms. And listen, when it comes down to it, God's people ought to be the most excited glad people there are. Why? We've been saved. Hey, listen, we've got a big family. You know what? It's a family of God. We are on our way to heaven. You know what? We are not citizens of this earth. We're citizens of heaven. Hey, bless God. I tell you what, I drove by a few days ago, a place where they were adding on to this house. It was a $1.5 million addition. You know what? Man, that house is nothing compared to what heaven's going to be like. I tell you what, all the money in the world can't compare to heaven. And you know what? They can't recreate it. Why? Because heaven's a perfect place and man's imperfect. And you know what? Here's the thing is, one day we're going to walk on streets of gold. We're going to see the gates of pearl. Here's the thing is, the Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And you know what? I think the mansions up in heaven are going to be like, we thought that was a mansion on earth. Seriously. And so here's the thing is, but listen, back to the point, we ought to serve the Lord with gladness. Turn your Bibles to First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. A lot of times, this is why many people don't serve the Lord with gladness. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. How is His commandments not grievous? For this is the love of God. Do you realize that too many times we don't have the love of God in us? We don't love His people. We don't love church. Why? Our heart's not right. I'll be honest with you. When our heart's not right, you know what? The last thing that we want to pick up is this book right here. When our heart's not right, the last thing we want to do is bend down to our knee and pray. Why? It's going to bring conviction. The last thing we want to do if we're not right with God is to walk through those doors. There's a reason why these pews aren't filled. It's because, you know what? Christians all across America, they're not right with God. I'm not saying all of them, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of good, solid Christians who love the Lord. But listen, when it comes down to it, you know what? If we love God, His commandments are not grievous. And so here's the thing is, the Bible says we're supposed to serve the Lord with gladness. And so here's the thing is, listen, when it comes down to it, I'll be honest with you, there's nothing more exciting than like veteran service and VBS and all these things. Why? Because we all band together and decide, you know what? There's a greater cause. God has a plan, and you know what? Here's the thing is, it's exciting. It's exciting because souls get saved and lives get changed. And you know what? Here's the thing is that a lot happens. And so when it comes down to it, we need to serve the Lord with gladness. Think about this. Gladness. For those of us that have children or have grandchildren or know of children, here's the thing is, think about Christmas time. I tell you what, kids just can't wait for Christmas time. There's the tree sitting there and there's all the presents. They're over there shaking the presents. It's kind of like Aaron with the candy for a birthday. He's like, where's the box? He hid the box. He's like, oh, which candy am I going to pick out? And here's the thing is, you know what? Gladness. He was glad to get that candy for his birthday. But listen, that's the way we should be about the things of God. Man, I tell you what, I can't wait to come to church. Hey, listen, I'm gonna get the most out of church that I can. I'm gonna try and assist with church. Hey, listen, if they need something, I'll be there. Why? Because I want to be a part of something great. And so listen, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. And we already kind of talked about that. And so listen, when it comes down to it, how do we get come before His presence with singing? Well, I'll be honest with you. It's pretty simple. Walk with God. Read your Bible. Pray. Too many times we come to church and we haven't given it a thought and we haven't given it a prayer. And most of the time it seems like, you know what? When we come to church, man, I tell you what, that's when the devil fights us the most. It's like we're on our way to church, a fly hits the windshield, and all of a sudden mom and dad are arguing about the fly that hit the windshield. And then next thing you know, it's like one of the kids thinks that a wrapper flew the air, but really mom had sneezed and it wiped something off the dash. And here's the thing is that next thing you know, you're pulling into the church parking lot. Everybody's arguing and screaming, and next thing you know, the door opens and everybody stands up like they're perfect angels. And I'm sure that has never happened to any of you. But anyways, it happens to my wife all the time. Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, church is important. And here's the thing is, this is a time that God has set up the church. And listen, here's the thing is, there's a reason why God says not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I remember Lee Robertson. He used to, in his old age, his finger was bent over. He couldn't straighten it out. He's like, three to thrive. And here's the thing is, you know what? There's something important about church. There's something exciting about church. But you know what? If we come to church and we're like, just bless me, then here's the thing is, you know what? We're missing it. And so we need to come to the Lord with singing. And we need to bring the right spirit. Look at verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. We are to know that the Lord is God. I'll be honest with you. One of the biggest ways to know that He is God is to see Him work. I'll be honest with you. When you see answers to prayer, you know He's God. But it takes a prayer life to get answers to prayer. It's kind of like, well, I'd like to win the lottery. Well, you know what? If you don't buy any tickets, you're never going to win the lottery. And by the way, I'm not endorsing the lottery. You know, don't go tell Pastor Wilman said that we were supposed to buy tickets. And no, that's not it. And so, but here's the thing is, but listen, how are we ever supposed to get answers to prayer if we don't have a prayer life? And so when it comes down to it, know that the Lord is God. And here's the thing is, you know what? I'll be honest with you. It's easy to know that the Lord is God when we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. When we take and we serve in a Sunday school class and we teach the young people week after week after week, and we see them grow up and we see them make decisions, and some of the lessons that they heard in our Sunday school class, they apply to their lives, and you think, you know what? It's so cool to see so-and-so. You know what? They're making better decisions. You know what? They're coming to church. And here's the thing is, it's easy to know that He is God. And so I'll be honest with you. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Too many times we rely on ourselves so much. We think that, in order to have church, we gotta make it happen. I'll be honest with you. You know, this illustration is so true. I'll never forget, working with young people. That it was, up in Michigan. There's 80 to 100 kids that would come on the buses. And, I'll never forget filling in for Brother Jim in junior church. And the first time I was scared spitless. And I tell you what, he said, listen, prepare and be prayed up. He said, otherwise they will eat your lunch. First time, I tell you what, I was so scared and so nervous. Man, I was praying. You know, it's like the verse, pray without ceasing. I was scared. And here's the thing is, I knew that could go wrong in a hurry fast. And listen, I trusted in God and I prepared and I was all ready to go. And you know what? That first week, I tell you what, everything went smooth. I'm like, thank you, Lord. The next time Brother Jim came around and he had a prison ministry that would take him away from that for just a little time, and he'd come in late. And he's like, listen, I want you to fill in the next time. And I'm thinking, I got this. You know what? So here's the thing is, I prayed some, but I didn't pray enough. And I knew it wasn't enough. And I prepared some, but I thought, you know what? I can do this. And so here's the thing is, you know what? Brother Jim was right. They ate my lunch. Brother Jim had a system set up where the kids would sit along the front if they were bad on the platform. I had half the junior church sitting up front along the platform. And let me tell you, it was just like I was pulling out my hair. The workers were pulling out their hair. And I'm thinking, never again. And Brother Jim comes up to me after the service. He's like, well, how'd junior church go? I'm like, don't ask. And he's like, you didn't pray enough, did you? I'm like, you know what? Why you got to be so pointed with your questions? And he's like, it's true, isn't it? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, it's kind of like that, kind of like how some people sing, you know, hoping nobody hears the answer. And I tell you what, you know, we need to realize that when it comes down to it, we need to meet with God here at Calvary Baptist Church. Hey, listen, we can go through and we can read the Bible and we can, you know what, some stuff will happen. But I tell you what, we need to hear from God. You know, God needs to meet with us. And I'll be honest with you, we need to come, I'll be honest with you, we as a Calvary Baptist Church, we ought to be praying before the service starts. When we're on our way to church, Lord, hey listen, do a work in my heart. Draw a circle around me. And here's the thing is, you know what? I'm not praying that, well, you know what? That guy down there, he really needs it. Draw a circle around him. No, here's the thing is, you know what? I need to hear from you. I need to meet with you. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But by the grace of God, I'd be out in a bar, or I'd be out wherever. I'd be out in prison. And here's the thing is, you know what? Listen, it is not, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Listen, we need to be led by God. We need to have conviction. We need to be challenged. We need to be encouraged. By the way, this book is awesome. It is a living book. Why do we come to church? You know why? Because we are His sheep. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. Sheep are dumb. If you've ever raised sheep, you know it. And listen, I'm just a city slicker, but everything I've learned about sheep, sheep are dumb. And they need a shepherd. There's a reason why God says that we are His sheep. And we need to submit to His leading. Too many times we think that we sit in a pew, and you know what? We're going to take I'm good Christian because I sit in this pew. Here's the thing is, are we teachable? Are we coming to church to learn about the things of God? And we need to submit to the purpose of God. And so here's, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. Why do we come to church? Well, the Bible says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. Hey, listen, we are His people. We are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies. And I'll turn there. John chapter 15 and verse 5. The Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Here's the thing is, He is the vine. But listen, when it comes down to it, we need God's leading. Listen, too many times we take, and I'll be honest with you, it's human nature. It seems like pastor's preaching and we think, you know what? That's got to be for somebody else. I don't know that I want to do that. And too many times we don't come before God with a teachable attitude. And next is verse 3. Back to Psalms chapter 100 and verse 3. The Bible says, know ye that the Lord, He is God, is He that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise and be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We need to come to church being thankful. Being thankful for what we've been given. You know, too many times our attitude affects things. I tell you what, we focus on different things and things throughout the week, and we don't have an attitude of thankfulness. I'll never forget working with teenagers up in Michigan. There was an individual. His name was Stephen. And Stephen was one that he'd be like, I need a ride. You're like, okay, I'll give you a ride. He'd get in your car, and he'd ride the whole time, and he'd try and get stuff out of you. Hey, you got any candy bar with you? You got some candy? No, Stephen, I don't have any candy with me. That's still at the church. And you get there, and they're like, all right. You get out of the car, and you just walk to the house. And you think, I don't know. I was raised that here's the thing is, if I didn't say thank you when somebody did something for me, I couldn't walk the next day. And anyways, listen, when it came down to it, and by the way, I'm thankful for that. Because here's the thing is, you know what? Thankfulness is a big part of the Christian life. You know what? Thankful that God saved my soul. Hey, listen, I'd be on my way to hell. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. If it weren't for the Son of God coming down to this sin-sick earth, I'd be on my way to hell. I'm so thankful for answered prayer. I'm so thankful for this church. And listen, how we come to this church and the attitude we possess. Because listen, what we fill our lives with affects our attitude. I'll be honest with you, at work, it doesn't matter what job you go to or what place you go to, if you listen to all the negative people long enough, I tell you what, your attitude turns. Well, maybe I don't have it so good. You know what? Maybe I am being mistreated. You know what? Maybe I do deserve more. And I tell you what, coming to church is the same way. If you listen to all the negative people, hopefully we don't have any here, but going to an average church and listening to the negative people, well, I don't know, maybe pastor doesn't preach all that great. I don't know, maybe that assistant pastor is pretty ugly. And, maybe I don't like this, and maybe I don't like that. Maybe, you know what, I don't know. But anyways, here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. God says, listen, you got to watch out what you think about. And here's the thing is, that's why I love the discipleship program. There's four verses that you got to memorize every week. You know what that does? That keeps you straight. That keeps your train of thought in the right place. And you know what? You're thinking about the Bible study for that week, and you're thinking about church, and you're thinking about all that God has done. And here's the thing is, this is why I believe that saying is true. Either sin will keep you from the Bible, or Bible will keep you from sin. Why? Because sin tends to captivate you. But you know what? If you're captivated by the Word of God, I tell you what, it'll change your attitude. But anyways, we need to come to the Lord with a great attitude, or come to the church with a great attitude. And so here's the thing is, listen, when it comes down to it, I'm running out of time. This passage, there's a lot more. I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg. For the Lord, He is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth for all generations. Listen, when I was a young boy, I remember different people in my life who were on fire for God, who God used in a great way in my life. You know what's neat is His truth endureth for all generations. Fads come and go. It seemed like there for a little bit, it looked like bell-bottom pants were coming back in. And I don't know about you. I don't think I'd wear bell-bottom pants. Peg legs. I tell you what, that just be like, listen, I don't want to see your scrawny legs, you know? And here's the thing is that, there's fads come and go. But you know what? You know what doesn't come and go? This book right here. Soul winning doesn't change. Why? Because God doesn't change, and His power doesn't wean one bit. You know what? The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And listen, when it comes down to it, old-fashioned church services, you know what? We don't need to change. We don't need to add a band up here. We don't need to start compromising on this, that, and the other. Listen, why? Because His truth endureth for all generations. Listen, I'll be honest with you. This book right here, the King James Bible, it'll still be good if the Lord tarries and I have grandchildren. You know what? His truth will endure to all generations, just like it endured when I was a kid, just like it endured when my parents got saved, just like it endured back in the day when I had a circuit riding preacher in my genealogy. Here's the thing is, you know what? God's truth endureth for all generations. By the way, that's something to shout about. And so God is the same. And you know what? He is just as powerful. But listen, we got to come to the Lord with the right attitude and realize that we need to make a joyful noise in the Lord. We need to serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth for all generations. Like I said, there's so much more that we could talk about tonight. But I tell you what, that's enough to shout about. That's enough to be excited about. That's enough when we sing the hymns, we got to belter out. Because you know what? God is so good. And I'll be honest with you, that seems like such an understatement. Good just doesn't describe it. I'll be honest with you. I could say, well, you know what? Brother Aaron's a good man. And you know what? He is. But you know, I tell you what, that doesn't really describe anything. When you say God is good, it's an understatement. But anyways, and so here's the thing is, you know what? If we focus on these things, I'll tell you what, it'll change our outlook on church. We'll come to church. We'll belter out. We don't care who. I tell you what, like I said, I love people that just belter out. And why? Because you know what? They got a song in their heart, and they don't care who hears. And so anyways, but here's the thing is, it'll change the way we look at church and the way we experience church. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you so much for this passage. Dearly Father, I know I didn't do it justice, but dearly Father, we thank you so much for the fact that we can come to a church like this that still believes in the old-fashioned King James Bible, and still believes in the old hymns, and still believes with meeting with you, and that you have power to do anything you want. Dearly Father, I thank you for the fact that your truth endureth for all generations. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.